What's up? This is Movies On Up, episode 56. The music made them do it. Just our love of movies made Dave and I do it. And of course, it is our free podcast that we do every week. The music made them do it is our tagline for this week. From a movie we talked, I feel like we talked about it a little bit last week, but I made a bigger deal out of it when I put up the post for our last week's discussion episode.
Yeah.
Did you like the title? Because I did that especially for you.
Yeah, but I had to look up this tagline.
Yeah.
Because I forgot last week existed.
Oh, yeah. I do, too. And I forget about it like a day or two after we record. So I had to go back and like, oh, man, what did we talk about? Oh,
I'm still adapted to this two episodes a week thing, to be honest with you.
I think I've got the handle on that we do two episodes a week now.
I check my RSS feed. It's like, oh, cool, a new Movies On Up episode.
Oh, that's right.
I wonder what they talked about.
We talked about this particular movie last week, The Music Made Them Do It. If you are a subscriber to our RSS feeds and you listen to our discussion episode last week, or better yet, go to moviesonup.com, check out our post for the discussion episode last week, and if you can identify the movie that is in that picture, guess what? That's the movie this tagline's from. Send us your guess to moviesonup@gmail.com. You can tweet your guess directly at Dave at moviesonup on the Twitter, or leave it on our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.com/moviesonup. If you can follow those directions, and if you get, of course, if you submit the correct answer, if we choose you, if all those stars align, you may end up with a prize package, care of Dave and I, and Movies On Up Incorporated.
Yep.
The big prize at the box office this weekend went to the number one film from last weekend, which I think we both kind of figured was going to happen. Whatever movie came in number one last week would probably duplicate that feat with wide releases this week, not.
It's still a little perplexing to me because we both said, I think I said at least, I think you agreed, Fast and the Furious 6 would be number one again.
Yeah, I feel like I did.
I was guessing about a, you know, 40 or in that 40 or 50 range, because usually movies like that, the drop is about 50 to 55%. It dropped 64%, which is a little weird because it seems like word of mouth is nothing but positive on this movie. 64% is the franchise's biggest dip from first to second week. It still came in.
It was also the biggest opening, though, right?
Yeah, that's true. It came in first with $35 million. So after 2 weeks, it's at $171 million. So it's going to hit that $200 million. A little overperforming this week. The two wide releases were Now You See Me and After Earth. I think I set them both at $25 million because I didn't want them to make any more than that. Now You See Me, I think we both went under on.
Probably.
It came in at second with $29 million. So it found something there and got some buzz and came in second because I don't know that anybody expected it to open above Will Smith and After Earth.
We've not had glowing things to say about the career of M. Night Shyamalan. We've been talking about this trailer, this movie for a while, and I think we've pretty much crapped on it every time. I don't think either of us were real high on Now You See Me, but that would have been an interesting discussion to have last week. Which do you think will do better? We both thought they'd do bad.
Yeah, but I mean, I think we both took the under for Now You See Me at 25, and I think you took the over. And I said that if After Earth would have brought in 40 or 50 million, I don't think I would have been super shocked because of Will Smith.
Yeah, I think that was my reasoning, is I'll take the over or 25 million on a Will Smith movie.
On a Will Smith movie.
Just on a lark.
But it wasn't promoted as a Shyamalan movie.
Right, exactly.
So I don't know how many more chances this guy gets, Shyamalan. It's just, he hasn't had success in how many tries now?
How much did this one make? I don't know if you'd said it yet.
27.5.
Okay.
On a $130 million budget with one of the world's biggest movie stars. So it's a bomb. I mean, it's safe to call that one a bomb. Now You See Me, only a $75 million budget. It overperformed. I think this could have opened with 22, 23, and the studio would have been happy. So to get it at 29, in fourth, Star Trek is holding strong in its third week. It brought in another $16.7 million. It's sitting at 181, so it's definitely going to hit that $200 million mark in the next week and a half or so. And then Epic, in only its second week, just brought in $16 million. So it's sitting at 65 after two. Hangover 3, second week, all the way down to sixth, $16.3 million for that.
Seems like there were a lot of movies bunched in that $16 million range.
Your sixth, fifth, and fourth movie all within 400,000 of each other. And then Iron Man 3 at seventh with 8 million brings its total to 385. And then Gatsby sitting at 128 after coming in at eighth. And then in ninth place is weird. I'm going to assume this is a Bollywood movie. Yeah, Jawani Hai Diwani opened on 161 screens for $1.5 million in ninth place. So congrats, Yeah, Jawani Hai Diwani. Then 10th place was Mud with $1.2 million. It's quietly, I mean, it hasn't even hit 100,000 theaters yet, and it's sitting at almost $17 million already. The Limiteds, The East, written by Britt Marling, who also wrote Sound of My Voice, directed by Batman.
Whatever that. Batman. Speaking of another guy that we can't pronounce his name.
77,000 on just four screens. That's 19,000 per screen. Pretty impressive. Kings of Summer, another one only opening on four screens, 58,000. So 14,000 per screen. A trailer we talked about a few weeks ago, History of Future Folk, opened on one screen with $6,000. So
that was the one about the space alien folk band.
Yeah, so
it looks interesting.
There were some cool limiteds opening this week.
Yeah, some stuff that was maybe a little bit different. It did kind of seem like the wide releases this week were sort of, here's your movie star with After Earth. And then I would say Now You See Me was, that had quite a cast in it, a bunch of people that, you know, you should be familiar with.
Yeah, it just, something about it just screams hip, I guess. I don't know. I guess maybe that's why I don't buy into it, but it just, maybe it looked cool.
Hip?
Yeah.
That's not something we usually associate with a Jesse Eisenberg movie, no. I don't think.
But I don't know how else to describe it. Like, I think people just looked at it and saw that it looked different than everything
hip.
Else. Yeah. And that's the only thing I can think of.
It looked real hip, daddy-o.
Yeah, so the hippest hit of the summer. Now You See Me.
Oh, I hope that that's like in the trailer for it next week, like the promo when they're saying like Peter Travers from Rolling Stone gives it a thumbs up. Dave Bissella from Movies On Up says it's the hippest hit of the summer. What would be pretty hip would be if Sam Mendes would come back to direct the next Bond movie, and that looks exactly like we're going to get. In fact, Mendes back for Double the Bond. Since he had departed the Bond franchise a couple months ago, and I'm going to use departed in air quotes, spoiler alert, wait till the end, directors Christopher Nolan, Nikki Winding Refn, Shane Black, David Yates, Ang Lee, and Tom Hooper have all taken meetings or had their names pop up as potential directors for the 24th installment in the franchise. It was all for naught, however, as Mendes now seems likely to direct not only the 24th, but also the 25th Bond, which would get him, in all likelihood, to the end of the Daniel Craig era.
It seems pretty much a lock for 24 with a strong chance of 25, which that one would be huge. If it's your 25th Bond movie, plus it's Daniel Craig's last one, that's pretty huge. And then if they moved on to somebody on this list, I mean, that's
Chris Nolan.
That's the most interesting thing to me is these are who they... Because you know what? I've been talking about doing that blog of directors I would like to see do Bond. Shane Black would have been on it. Thought there was no chance. Christopher Nolan would have been on it. Thought there was no chance he'd be interested. Nikki Winding Refn, I didn't even think about because it's so far. But these are the names they're thinking of. And, I mean, David Yates, Ang Lee. Ang Lee's just different. That's an interesting choice.
I'd love to see it, though.
I would. and Tom Hooper. So I like where their head is. And I'm interested not just in the next two Mendes does, but where they go, because 26th is going to, you're going to have a new Bond, you're going to have a new director, and they've never had a director do three in a row, have they?
Not that I know of.
Because they generally don't even have them do two in a row, do they?
No. And generally, like, they don't really coincide with each other, but that's been sort of the premise behind maybe 24 and 25 is that they would be connected. They would be kind of sequels in the way that
Casino Royale,
Quantum of Solace came right after Casino Royale. Yeah, I think it would be really neat if they could have at least two, or if they could tie it, you know, into the last one, into Skyfall, and make like a kind of a trilogy, and then kind of hand it off to someone to essentially reboot it like they did, you know, when they brought in Craig. It seems like recently, every time they've brought in a new Bond, they have kind of rebooted the franchise. And I think it's worked really, really well to go from essentially being dead.
It's just interesting because you brought in Craig and you brought in, I think it was Martin Campbell, but the franchise needed it. And Campbell, I believe he had done the last one that people considered good, GoldenEye, right?
When I said that that's kind of what brought the franchise back from being dead, GoldenEye is the one that you have in mind because it was, coming from the Dalton era, it was essentially dead. Then you recast Pierce Brosnan. You give him a little bit different of a backstory, and there you go.
Yeah, but so we went without Bond for a while, and the last couple Brosnan ones didn't do great, didn't get a lot of good reception. And you reboot it so drastically with Craig, and you just take a completely different approach. How do you do it when Craig's done and you bring a new director in? Is this kind of the blueprint? Do you keep following that formula? Because you can't just go back and make them like the 90s Bond movies, can you? Or do you even want to?
You know, you can look at the Bond films in different eras as to who was playing Bond. And, you know, maybe the Sean Connery ones were your quintessential Bond movies, and that was kind of the icon, what everybody else kind of shoots for. Then there was the Roger Moore ones, which were, you know, probably a little more slapsticky, I guess you might say. Maybe the Timothy Dalton era was a little bit darker. Pierce Brosnan was a nice
those
mix
were goofy
of the two.
I mean, I haven't seen them, but I've seen clips, and I see him, whatever he was doing with on a boat, I don't know, skiing.
The Brosnan ones at times, I guess he was maybe a little bit more Roger Moore than some of the other ones, but I think that when they did the Daniel Craig movies, that was more tonally, I think, what they were going for with the Timothy Dalton ones. They just didn't do it well.
Dalton only got the one, right?
He got two. Okay. The Living Daylights and License to Kill.
I still want Hugh Dancy as the next Bond.
Not Jai Courtney? He's your answer to everything. You don't think he'd be a good Bond? No, he'll be busy being young Han Solo. Pirates of the Who Cares Bean, Norwegian directing duo Joachim Rønning and Espen Sandberg from Kon-Tiki have landed the directing gig for Pirates of the Caribbean 5. Jerry Bruckheimer will produce and John Nathanson will provide the script. They'll begin filming later this year for a July 10th, 2015 release.
How are these still getting... Like, it seemed like 4 just got nothing but panned.
I've not seen a one of them.
I think I've seen parts of the first one. But it made a lot of money. Like, that's, I don't understand who's going to see these movies. Because it seems like anybody that's seen them hasn't liked it since the first one.
I feel like the first 2 to 3 maybe did okay.
I mean, the fourth one made a lot of money.
Obviously, they're coming back for 5.
So, I just don't... It's one of those franchises that I don't understand. I mean, at least Fast and the Furious... That makes sense. It doesn't appeal to me, but I kind of see what the appeal is there. I guess it's just Johnny Depp in a funny voice, but that doesn't work anywhere else other than Pirates.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess we'll see. If Lone Ranger does okay, I mean, that seems like it's Johnny Depp in somewhat of a funny voice.
Racist, funny, whatever it is.
Well, I guess it's not racist because he actually made friends with Indians. So you can't be a racist.
He's got that one Indian.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I guess I feel like you were onto something with the Fast and the Furious thing. I think they're just action movies. They're just popcorn action movies that maybe don't have a lot of depth to them. So, you know, snobs like us might say, it's not for me. But, you know, those movies, they do okay. The Transformers movies make money.
Yeah.
The Turtles movie will make money. I just want to see if I get you mad real quick. See how close I could get to making you mad. Close to a galaxy far, far away, James Gunn's Guardians of the Galaxy have found their leader. Glenn Close has been cast in a role similar to what Samuel L. Jackson's Nick Fury is in The Avengers. Karen Gillan also joined the cast in a villain-type role.
This starts filming soon, so there's a lot of casting news come out. Just since I typed up this, John C. Reilly has been flirting with the role. That's compared to the Agent Coulson role, to where he'd be the bridge between the galaxy, Guardians of the Galaxy and Nova Corps. Just today, Benicio Del Toro signed a multi-picture deal to be in this. hasn't been announced who he is, either whether he's the voice of Rocket Raccoon, whether he's actually the physical personification of Thanos. But so Benicio del Toro, possibly John C. Reilly, Glenn Close. These are
that's kind of some star
cast.
Power in supporting roles.
Yeah.
They don't have it in the starring
with
roles.
With your lead
but...
is Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
And Dave Bautista is just like, this cast is so weird, but I think that says a lot about it. Glenn Close can do anything she wants and probably get nominated for an Oscar.
And, you know, even if she wanted to do a comic book movie, you know, she could do the Avengers if she wanted to. But, I mean, this is not the Avengers.
No, and I mean, Glenn Close and Guardians of the Galaxy makes less sense than Robert Redford and Captain America 2. But I love it.
That's kind of what I was thinking. You know, when we talk about these acclaimed actors and actresses that could do whatever they want. Robert Redford came to mind. It's like, what is he doing in Captain America? Oh, whatever he wants. Essentially, if he says, I want to be in it.
Something is there. Either this script is phenomenal or James Gunn is the best talker in the world. Because the cast he's putting together, like the buzz this movie's creating for a superhero team that most people don't know about. And, I mean, you still have a couple voices that you could cast that they could swing. And I mean, there's talk going after, like, Sandler or Jim Carrey for some of the major voices. But this cast is awesome. I'm so excited for this movie.
You may have come real close with the script. I mean, that's when you're able to attract, you know, this kind of talent, it's not because you have a marketable property necessarily. It's because they like the work. That's what they're into. Like, Glenn Close is an actress. She's I don't think she just wants to be in a comic book movie.
Yeah.
She wants to be in something that, you know, she's interested in. And clearly something about this has interested her. And I think that really only bodes well for the most of us that don't really have anything invested in the franchise.
I'm interested to see who Benicio del Toro is playing, though, because if he is Thanos, I'm on board with that.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that. And you said, I think, multi-picture. If he Thanos would be a character that, yeah, you know, obviously if he's going to show up in Avengers 2 or, you know,
Avengers 3 probably, like,
yeah, so that would make an awful lot of sense, and it'd probably be super cool. The super spy, after Tom Cruise exits this project last week, Henry Cavill comes in to save the day for Guy Ritchie's The Man from U.N.C.L.E. He becomes the latest in a long line and by far the smallest name to be attached to the lead of the super spy show adaptation opposite Armie Hammer.
It's also a WB movie, so I think that says a lot about how strong they feel about Superman. The fact that Tom Cruise exits and the first place they go is a guy who really hasn't done anything yet.
Who they're assuming is going to blow up after
yeah,
Superman.
Who isn't right now. So, I mean, yeah, he top-billed the Immortals, which made a decent amount of money, but people weren't going to see that for Henry Cavill. It was just victim of circumstance why that movie did well. Good for him. I just think it'll be interesting to see what, you know, it's a lot hinging on it. Is your two leads are guys who really haven't been proven yet until later this summer. You're going to see what they can do.
Yeah, and I feel like one of them.
I think
really,
one of them's going to do pretty good. I think the other one.
It's
going to
be in some trouble. Yeah. Spoiler alert. We think it's Armie Hammer that might be in some trouble. From a project that maybe we're half in, half out on to one, I would go out on a limb and say we're both probably all in for. And then as Inherent Vice finally gets its female lead, Paul Thomas Anderson has picked, and that's about what it comes down to, he picks people, picked Catherine Waterston to play the lead female role in his adaptation of the Thomas Pynchon novel Inherent Vice. She will play the ex-girlfriend of Joaquin Phoenix's character, who is having an affair with Reese Witherspoon's character's husband. Benicio del Toro, or Thanos, as you may know him, Jenna Malone, Martin Short, Josh Brolin, and Sean Penn are also part of the cast. The movie will film this summer for a likely 2014 release.
What is that cast? I mean, this we talk about Paul Thomas Anderson, how he can just handpick his cast. This is huge for this girl. Catherine Waterston hasn't done much. She was in this movie called The Babysitters that she carried, and it was one of those that you watch and it's like, oh, she has it. That was in 2007. It's like, oh, she's, you know, she's gonna be a star. And then it's just shown up in like small parts since then. So this is the kind of thing that changes a career. when you're the lead in a PTA movie, when the leads in PTA movies are generally nominated for Oscars, that's a big deal. So good for her.
Good for her. And something I kind of wanted to mention last week when we talked about it, but I didn't, was Martin Short, kind of a goofy type dude that I don't think really gets a lot of credit. I think people just kind of, well, maybe it's just me, tend to just get a little nauseated when you see him because you know it's just going to be too much. But I'm interested to see Paul Thomas Anderson direct Martin Short. Yeah. I think the dude's talented, and I think it could be really, really
cool. I'm not
a
Martin Short fan, but he was on season 3 of Damages, and he was really good.
With that lady from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, with Glenn Close. And he was really good, and it was he was kind of a darker, like, scumbag lawyer. He was essentially representing the family of a Bernie Madoff type family, where there was a major Ponzi scheme. So he actually was pretty good. Like, he was really good in it, and it was dark, and it wasn't comedic Martin Short. So I think he can pull dark, and I think it's interesting to see from him because you don't expect it.
I guess we probably all expected at least some of these names to end up in Expendables 3. Jackie Chan, Mila Jovovich, Wesley Snipes, and Nicolas Cage have all officially joined the cast of Expendables Dry.
Chan, Snipes, and Cage have all been rumored, but it's official. And Sly had talked about wanting to find his young Ripley. So I guess that's Mila Jovovich. And this movie comes out next summer. They just announced today that it comes out in August of next year. So
I think Jackie Chan was one that was rumored heavily for 2, but he wanted it to be like a buddy film.
Yeah, like a buddy.
Yeah, and I hope that doesn't happen. The Mila Jovovich thing, like, it would have been made all the sense, and maybe she still would. Maybe that's how. No, because that Femme Spendables is a different studio, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she would have been one that I would have thought absolutely for that movie.
That's a discussion I forgot about where we talked about female action stars.
Yeah, that would have been a nice blog post, but we did that before we were doing blogs.
Yeah.
I don't know what episode it is to refer people to.
Long time ago, we did an episode where we went over all these female action stars.
Maybe we can still do a blog post.
Yeah.
Because that episode it's online. I mean, it's on moviesonup.com. Lost to the sands of time, that one. I like the Expendables. And I'm glad Wesley Snipes is in there. We're starting to run low on, like, action heroes that haven't made an appearance in the Expendables yet. He's one of them. Obviously, it hasn't, so welcome aboard. Glad to have you. Chow Yun-Fat, you're on deck, because I think he'd be pretty sweet, too. And again, they're starting to run out of Asians that haven't been. And there's a lot of Asians.
Tony Jaa.
Oh, God, that'd be awesome. I don't feel like anybody knows who he is, though. Chow Yun-Fat, I think, has got a chance. Tony Jaa, I'm just pissing in the wind on that one.
Episode 16 is when we cast the perfect female action team.
I didn't know what you were talking about. I was like, did we just get another round of Star Wars movies announced?
No, episode 16, if you want to go back and listen to it.
The Femme Spendables.
Yeah, it was when Tony Scott died. So the episode's a little bit of a downer, but...
Yeah.
But we do talk about our female action stars.
Some Top Gun and some female action stars.
Yeah, so that's episode 16 if you're interested in that.
You might call that the 16th sequence for us.
I wouldn't.
You can add one more to The Centipede. Eric Roberts set to star in The Human Centipede 3, the final sequence. He will join franchise vet Dieter Laser and newcomers Tiny Lister and Brie Olsen.
There's a cast for you.
I hope that is The Centipede.
No, it's a 500-person centipede.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's in a prison, I think. I hate these movies.
Have you seen any of them?
I saw the first one, and I hated it. And then I read a full rundown of the second one.
If you saw the first one and hated it, yeah, you might want to stay away from the second one.
I did. I read everything about it, and I decided no.
I genuinely like the first movie. It's not nearly as bad and as graphic as people think it's going to be. The second one is, but the first one is not, and I think it's... I almost feel like it's kind of meta, like it's in on the joke.
Oh, it is. It's.
But then the second one kind of makes you think that, oh no, he thinks that this is legit now. So I kind of want to see, like, this is like the trilogy of fights. Like, it'll determine what way the series goes.
And you get an Oscar-nominated dude, is it?
Dieter Laser?
Yeah. Eric Roberts has been nominated before, right?
For, was it Best of the Best, I think?
Sleeping with the Enemy. In my head, I always think of Eric Roberts as the love interest in Sleeping with the Enemy, but he wasn't because Julia Roberts was the star of that movie.
Oh, so Sleeping with his, Sleeping with why, the Brother.
I don't know why in my head. So he might, yeah, nominated for an Oscar. Runaway Train, 1985, Best Actor in a Supporting Role.
Tiny Lister, that was that Debo?
Yeah.
All right.
That's the big dude.
Yeah, big dude from Friday.
Was in every 90s movie. He was in No Holds Barred.
Yeah, Zeus.
And I believe Mike Hunt
Over
movie.
The Top?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Mike Hunt movie. I like how that's how you refer to it.
Well, the arm motion gave it away.
Yeah, it did. We could have said it was the Sylvester Stallone movie, the backwards hat movie, the movie where Jim keeps his condoms. Any of those would have been fine, but it's the Mike Hunt. I guess it worked. I knew what you were talking about. If only there were an internet meme to sum up this story, that way we wouldn't have to talk about it. Grumpy Cat, the internet meme that went viral last year, is getting her own movie. Broken Roads wants to build a family-friendly, Talking Cat, Garfield-esque franchise around that internet meme because the Garfield franchise worked so well.
People complain about creativity, but you have to admit that they're creatively looking for...
things to steal.
Things to steal.
Yes.
I mean, board games, theme park rides, internet memes. So,
why is there no planking
YouTube
movie?
Shorts? Oh, there will be. I see where they're coming from because, yeah, you could make a Talking Cat movie, but are you going to have the actual cat? And the worst part about this story is when you read the story, it's just a cat that looks grumpy and a dude took a picture and the picture went viral and now people make memes out of it all the time. But anyways, you read the article and it said the cat's representation and it's like two or three lawyers, Dave. It's like, screw you. Dude took a picture of his cat. Now he has lawyers and agents for his cat. And you're justifying it by saying we're going to build a movie around it. Shut up, world.
Dave's got a grumpy cat face on right now. But I know how to turn that grumpy cat face upside down. And that is by not pass and go, not collecting $200, but going straight into discussing the newest trailer for Disney Pixar's Planes. Starring Brett Mustang
Burger.
It's
not Disney Pixar's.
It's not. It's just Disney.
It's Disney. That, yeah.
Good for Pixar. Yeah. For saying, this is going to take place in the world of Cars, not on our watch.
Yeah. We talked about Grown Ups 2 trailer, where it's just like so focused on the first Grown Ups. It's kind of what Planes is. It's like, hey, remember Cars?
Yeah.
We'll make another movie. Because you like Cars so much, right? Like, you liked Cars.
Look down and you might see Lightning McQueen.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. It's the same movie.
That's either Dusty Crop Feather or
his name is
the
Dusty,
Japanese.
Dusty Crop Hopper. Like, I hate, there's no, this movie looks so.
I did like Brett Mustang Burger, though. And was that Colin Cowherd that I heard in there somewhere?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
He's like Karin Cowherd or something.
Of course. Like, way to go, Disney.
So, I mean, there's a lot of cars there. There's some forklifts, but it's just a racing movie. It's about a crop dusting plane, voiced by Dane Cook, Plane Cook, that is afraid of heights. So, like, he's got to go in this race, but he's afraid of heights. It's the stupidest, stupid movie. And like, I would watch Angry Cat, Grumpy Cat over this.
Well, I mean, you're going to get your chance.
Remember Mater? Well, here's another character that's going to say stupid stuff with kind of a southern accent.
That's racist too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Towards southern people.
To be honest, they've been asking for it for hundreds of years.
I saw that Val Kilmer is in the movie, and it took me a while.
Yeah.
It took me a while to like.
Anthony Edwards is too, I believe.
Now it's getting weird. Like, it's the entire Michael Ironside in there, Tom Skerritt,
Kelly McGillis.
That would be great if they're just they showed up in the movie for like 3 minutes. It was just the entire cast of Top Gun as jets because I did see some jets.
Yeah, Anthony Edwards, Val Kilmer, Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
What about Sundown, the black guy? Is he in there? Probably not.
Not unless he was played by Cedric the Entertainer.
No.
Or Sinbad.
Really? Sinbad?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So that's Planes. Look forward to that, folks.
Yeah. Can't wait for that one.
Also, we talked about Cedric the Entertainer and Sinbad, and like that's a hell of a cast. There actually is a hell of a cast for Percy Jackson and the Sea of Monsters. This trailer gives you a little bit more of the plot. than I feel like the first one did. It's a movie that I should like. I like myths. I like the Sinbad movies, not starring Sinbad.
I do like the Sinbad movies starring Sinbad. House guest?
This trailer, about 100% more Nathan Fillion than the last one, but I still could not care less about the movie.
And it's so, I love Logan Lerman and think he's just, I think he can carry movies. Brandon T. Jackson is awesome, especially in this kind of supporting role. But I just, it's such a, the books are so horribly written. They're based on the Percy Jackson books by Rick Rixton or something. I don't even care. Rick Riordan. They're just so terribly written. There's parts that scream Harry Potter. Harry Potter, you're already trying to get your book compared to Harry Potter. There's a part with a magic car in the woods in Harry Potter. So let's show that in the trailer here. Percy Jackson, and it doesn't seem like there's a plot. It just seems like, we have to get this stuff from over there. To get there, we have to go through the Sea of Monsters.
It seems like a National Treasure movie.
It does, with sea monsters.
And those didn't look that good, but at least they didn't look silly. This kind of looks silly with the ghost car splitting in half and Logan Lerman trying to straddle it and thinking, oh my God, dude, I hope you're getting paid millions and millions of dollars for this because you're better than that.
Logan Lerman, Nathan Fillion, Sean Bean, Stanley Tucci, Missy Pyle, Danny Cudmore, Jake Abel, Brandon T. Jackson, Yvette Nicole Brown. Like, these are all good people that I generally like what they do.
Just not this. No. We don't like this.
Percy Jackson, the Sea of No Thank You, Sir.
Speaking of the Tucci, I was watching the trailer for Prisoners with Paul Dano in it, and I started thinking about Tucci in Lovely Bones.
Because Dano is like channeling Tucci in Lovely Bones
in
this.
And I mean, in fairness, if you're going to challenge or channel a pedophile, that's the one to go to.
Either him or Jackie Earle Haley from
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Little Children.
Well, either way.
Or Kevin Bacon from The Woodsman. This movie, though.
Looks kind of good.
What an intense trailer.
That tells you way too much.
Like, that's the thing is, I don't want to say it's a great trailer because it's intense. The cast is...
For 90 seconds, it's a good trailer.
It's until it starts getting into the plot. Hugh Jackman.
Melissa Leo, Viola Davis, Jake Gyllenhaal, Terrence Howard. We already mentioned Paul Dano, but really good cast. It's essentially like a Taken, but with a plot. It's not just...
Terrence Howard and...
And
Terrence Howard
kids
and Wolverine's
get
kids get taken. And then Jake Gyllenhaal is the neck tattooed detective on the case. And they suspect Paul Dano did it, but they can't hold him. So Hugh Jackman, yada, yada, yada. Like, it looks intense. I feel like the trailer gave
yada,
away
yada,
too
yada.
Much.
They tell you. I mean, Dave's just trying not to ruin it for you, but don't worry, the trailer will.
It looks like there's a lot of places it could go. And I'm interested in any of them. I mean, the cast looks good. I like Gyllenhaal's neck tattoo. Like, I just think it looks good. Like, it really looks... It just looks intense. Like, it looks like it's... I just can't see it having a happy ending.
Maybe not. Because, I mean, I don't think the Lovely Bones really did either.
Usually... No, usually not.
When it's called Bones, like, I wonder. Maybe that girl died. Let's just kind of keep with the Taken theme. And, okay, we've got, Taken with a plot. This is, I guess, Taken, but with either aliens or ghosts or something. It's called Absence. Ugh. Essentially, this woman is pregnant, and then she's not. Yeah. Has a baby, and then all of a sudden...
There's a baby inside her.
Yes.
She doesn't have a baby, and then she's not pregnant anymore.
And it's not like that French movie with the... Is that inside?
Yeah.
Not like that.
She
it
just
seems
wakes
a less
up
invasive
one day
procedure.
And she's not pregnant.
100% less pregnant.
So her brother and a friend decide to take her on a vacation
to the cabin
woods,
in the woods or something.
To the woods and film everything on super high quality, super motion picture quality cameras. Because it's all found footage type, but the footage looks great. Like, it looks like it's just. You lose me at the found footage.
Well, really, the prosumer level cameras are getting much better now.
But I understand that, but I just, And it's like, oh, I want to make sure everything's all right with my sister. So then he films himself sleeping. Like, screw you. I'm already mad at the found footage excuse in this movie, and I haven't even seen it.
I don't know what the hell's going on in this. I really don't.
Oh, there's aliens. And I guarantee that last shot in the trailer is probably the last shot in the movie, which actually is kind of a cool shot. But, eh. It looks terrible. It looks stupid. It looks awful. It looks... I would rather watch Planes over this.
Oh, God. What about...
Actually, that's probably... I take that back.
But, all right. Now, what about the angry grumpy cat?
Grumpy cat, Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters, double feature. I'd still probably watch this. I like aliens.
Especially when they're taking babies.
Yeah.
Like, before they're born, that's...
But I hate found footage. And this just doesn't look good.
Since you hate found footage, the next movie I thought was kind of found footage or cobbled together from different video sources, and I think it still sort of is, but it doesn't really give you that impression from the trailer. It is a movie when we first, I think we talked about it in our summer preview or something. I talked about it really quickly. It's called Closed Circuit. It's Eric Bana, Rebecca Hall, more importantly, Julia Stiles. It is Eric Bana and Rebecca Hall are like ex-lovers, and they have been tasked to represent a terrorist in some kind of a trial that he's about to have. And then it starts to get really complex. Like, there are people that are trying to intimidate the defense lawyers into messing things up. There's some kind of conspiracy / cover up. And Julia Stiles, in addition to just being adorable, is there to try and help the English folks get to the bottom of things. Because that's, I mean, really when it comes down to it, like, British people are stupid. Like, you really got to send an American over there to get stuff figured out.
The movie looks okay. It looks disposable.
It looks much different than what I think, at least what I thought it was going in.
It looks disposable. Like, it looks like, I look at a movie like that and I think like, oh, that might be interesting. But I also look at a movie like Erased with Aaron Eckhart and I think like, oh, that might be all right. I feel like those are the same kind of movie. I feel Closed Circuit's less action-y. But
yeah.
Same idea-y, you know, where, I don't know. They feel the same. I do like hearing Eric Bana in his, like, real voice, though, which is cool.
I mean, I think the trailer is at least worth a watch because I had no idea what kind of movie it was. And then I watched the trailer and I was like, oh, I get it. It didn't give away too much of the plot. To me, this was a good trailer because it educated
cool.
me about the movie.
The scene,
I kind of want to see it now.
The scene setting up the bombing is cool because they're looking at this screen that's like 100 surveillance cameras.
Yeah.
And then they just all go black at once. Like, that's kind of cool. I don't have anything negative to say about it. I like Eric Bana. I like sometimes Rebecca Hall. I don't want to commit to liking her so much now, but she doesn't look like she takes...
She won't ruin this movie.
Yeah, and... It looks okay. I think the movie, like, there's a movie called Look from 2007, directed by Adam Rifkin, that I think is pretty much what you expected this movie to be, where it's just all, there's a bunch of, it's one of those interconnecting stories.
What I kept seeing was Vantage Point, and I liked Vantage Point.
That,
I thought that was kind of
yeah.
neat. This, I thought it would be like our discussion last week, we talked about just in one location. I thought this was going to be mostly held within the courtroom,
okay,
but it was going to be some kind of action in the courtroom.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm just a doofus, but thank you, Closed Circuit trailer, for educating me.
I just want to bring it. Usually some weeks I can't think of a watch this. This week I have like four, so I'll throw one out now. Look, directed by Adam Rifkin. It's all on surveillance cameras from different places. Like, follows two teenage girls in the mall. There's some at the school. Like, it's really unique, and it's just one of those that does use all like that. Like, what I thought Closed Circuit would be going into, it is just like, oh, it's all going to be security footage. No.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, from the trailer, you really don't get that impression too much at all. You do get the impression from our last movie, there's going to be a lot of blood, lots of killing, and some testicles hanging in the tree. It's Hatchet 3. Just when you thought Victor Crowley finally was dead, and the lovely Danielle Harris lets you know that she killed him right before she gets arrested. Turns out not so much. He's back with a brand new addition, killing people. There are some way over the top deaths, but I thought they were at least entertaining. This movie seems it's over the top. I mean, it's gone completely around the bend.
I really liked the first one. I liked the balance that Adam Green had between straight up slasher and like a horror comedy slash buddy movie. Like, he made a lot of stuff good there. I don't think the deaths were cool and creative, but they never like went too far. Hatchet 2 was unwatchable to me. Like, I couldn't even make it through Hatchet 2. He's not directing this one. The trailer looks okay. The trailer looks... I'll probably try it. I mean...
But it's much closer. It's going to be much closer to Hatchet 2 than it is Hatchet
And I realize
1.
That, and it's one of those things with, like, VHS 2. Like, I didn't like VHS. I kind of want to see VHS 2. It's saying, I didn't like Hatchet 2. I kind of want to see Hatchet 3. Even if nothing else, Zach Galligan is one of the lead detectives in it from Gremlins.
And Waxwork.
Yes.
1 and 2.
And Gremlins 2.
From Gremlins 1 and 2 and Waxwork 1 and 2. Yeah. And that's pretty much his filmography. So.
And Hatchet 3.
And Hatchet 3. That's kind of a smorgasbord of trailers this week. We go from a Disney movie to Hatchet 3. We skipped one.
Yeah, I was going to say, you skipped one.
I skipped one. And this was the one I actually watched like this weekend. And I said, I'm going to see if Dave puts this on here. Because if he doesn't, I'm going to be pissed. And I'm just going to add it. It's a sequel to a movie that Dave didn't like.
No, I did not.
But I liked. And I'm excited. And it is over the top. It's completely around the bend. But it knows it. It is Machete Kills. It's in exactly what you would expect from a Machete trailer. He's essentially, the plot's the same. He's left to die, he doesn't die, and then he kills people. Lots of people.
And that's why I didn't like the first Machete so much, was
Machete.
The trailer just looked like, okay, this is going to be just ridiculous, dumb, over-the-top action. Then it kind of felt preachy to me. Like, it had a political point, and it drove it home a little too much. Like, I don't think you could balance those two. You can't just be stupid, fun, ridiculous, over the top action and try to preach to me at the same time. Like, it just doesn't, if it does work, it doesn't work like that. So that's what turned me off of Machete. So I don't really think I'll see the second one, even with Carlos Estevez as the president.
Like, yeah, that's pretty ridiculous.
I just don't
it's
care.
Charlie Sheen. just in case you got confused, but that's another one. It's
the cast is ridiculous.
The cast is Mel Gibson. In case you forget, shows up in that movie. A lot of the principals from the first Jessica Alba's back. Michelle Rodriguez is
Sophia
back.
Sophia Vergara.
Yeah, she's new. Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga's in it. Yeah, that does kind of have me interested.
I
like her song on that Google commercial.
And is it Amber Heard or who's the other?
Oh, Amber Heard, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe Dave
Maybe
is...
I will see Machete Kills.
Dave just pulled a McAvoy turn on this movie.
I'll see it. I won't like it.
Yeah, you will. You mentioned the Lady Gaga song in the Google commercial. The Internship comes out this week, where Vince Vaughn and his buddy Owen Wilson get an internship at Google, or you can see The Purge, which I don't want to see. Somebody's going to see that, though.
This is a weird week. If Fast 6 would have held like I thought it would and only dropped about 45-50%, I would think it has a shot to hang 3 weeks in a row at number one, but go 50 for The Internship?
You're going to go 50?
Yeah.
I'll take the under.
Because if we had a really... We haven't really had a comedy yet. I mean, other than
Hangover
3,
but that didn't do that
people
well.
People were soured on that, though.
Right.
Like, as far as just a comedy that you could go to, and you know, there's a place for them in the summer. I'm going 50 with The Internship.
So you're taking the over,
I'm going to take under.
So you built the case to argue against me, and then you agreed with me.
Yeah. And then...
The Purge.
I say 20.
That's the number I had in mind. Because usually I will try and come up with a number.
I'm going to go over on that.
I'll take the over, too. It seems like...
Just because...
It's being promoted well enough.
Here's my thing is, Now You See Me looks terrible. But it got decent buzz. It's promoted heavily. It looked like something was there. And I was wrong. Like, they did more than I thought would. The Purge, I think, looks terrible, but it's promoted well. There seems to be a positive buzz about it. People seem somewhat interested in it. I don't see why. So I'm going to go over on 20. I think it'll be right there, but I'll still take over.
So just the two in wide release this week. Quite a few in limited release. As Cool As I Am, Much Ado About Nothing, Violet and Daisy, Syrup, and Wish You Were Here.
That's I want to see Violet and Daisy, Much Ado About Nothing. I'll see Wish You Were Here and As Cool As I Am. Syrup doesn't look that great. It's based on an Australian novel by a really cool Australian novelist, but not really.
Oh, really? He's cool. What's his name, Dave?
I forget it off the top of my
head. Oh, I know you did. If you'd have just said based off a novel, I'd have let it go.
Max, damn it.
Dundee, Hogan.
Those Max Berry. I knew it was some Max Berry.
All right. New to DVD this week, we mentioned just straight up comedies, and you know maybe The Internship can do well because it's a comedy. I would say probably the best performing comedy this year, Identity Thief, will be out on DVD this well this week, as well as maybe a comedy that didn't perform as well. It's a Disaster, Warm Bodies, and A Good Day to Die Hard. Actually, all three of these movies, with the exception of Warm Bodies, which I did see. The other ones, I've wanted to get around to seeing Identity Thief and Die Hard. I've seen all the other ones, so I feel like, yeah.
I liked It's a Disaster a lot. I really did.
It didn't seem like anybody else did.
Yeah, I don't... It's that quirky, like...
Fun. And I'll watch it, of course, because it has the adorable Julia Stiles.
And David Cross. Like, the cast is...
Who's less adorable.
The cast is really good in it. It's just... It's a quirky...
Black.
Hard to call fun, but it's funny. It's one of those dialogue-driven comedies, and... I'm a sucker for those, so I liked it.
If you're not into seeing any of those films that are out on DVD, and if you are going to purge yourself of The Internship this week, give the folks something to watch in the comfort of their own home.
Well, I touched on a few already. The Babysitter's Look, and It's a Disaster. I would highly recommend all three of those. But something I just stumbled across on yesterday, I was on Netflix. I don't generally rec documentaries, but I saw one yesterday called... He's That Guy from That Thing. That's just a documentary about a bunch of character actors.
Ken Jeong.
No, he's not in it, but no. Jaiko Ivanovich is in it. The guy from Psych. Like, just I know all of them to see them, but not necessarily their names. But Craig Fairbrass is in it, who I love. So it's just a really cool thing about these guys with, 70 motion pictures, 5 TV shows they've been credited as regulars on, 22 TV guest spots, can walk out down the street and people don't really know their name. So, I mean, it's just really cool to kind of peek into their life and see what the life of like a character actor is.
I'm a sucker for a Robert Rodriguez film, with the exception of, was that Shark Boy and Lava Girl?
What about Spy Kids?
That's what I was thinking, Spy Kids. I'm not, well, so much, not so much into those. But I did like... The Faculty a lot, and I think that's a movie that people tend to kind of forget about. It's another one it was a straight, like, sci-fi horror movie. A lot of his stuff, especially his action stuff, gets to be a little bit kind of tongue-in-cheek. This one really wasn't.
A lot of it, I think, was, but it wasn't as.
I mean,
he didn't have the freedom to get away with it like he did, but you could tell a lot of it was tongue-in-cheek there.
I guess so, but you know, when I start to think about like the end of, you know, the Mariachi trilogy, Once Upon a Time in Mexico, that was really kind of over the top. Obviously, Machete was, Planet Terror, very much so. But I mean, I think people kind of forget that Robert Rodriguez can be a legitimately good director. I mean, go back and watch El Mariachi, the first one before Desperado. Check out, you know, The Faculty, and I think you can see that
From Dusk Till Dawn, I think, is well directed. Like, I think that's well directed.
That's good, but that's another one that does seem, you know, it's very over the top, but it's not ridiculously campy. I think it's still a good movie.
It has its moments, but it doesn't lose control of itself. Like, I think Machete did.
It did, but I mean, it was always on that track anyway, but I think The Faculty is a really good horror movie.
Elijah Wood, Jon Stewart, Usher.
Yeah.
Allie Larder? No.
No. It was the chick from Dead Like Me.
Yeah.
And the one from Carnival?
Yeah. Her name is just blanking me right now. I know who it is, but.
And Josh
Lea
Hartnett.
Duvall, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Was in that. Oh, yeah. That guy. That guy from That Thing was in that movie as well. We've got that girl from that movie that we've talked about quite a bit, that Britt Marling girl. We are going to be doing a discussion coming up here very shortly on Sound of My Voice. It's of the two movies that she's got out now, not counting The East that just came out.
Of the ones she's written and starred in. Yeah.
Right, yeah, that just came out last week, which obviously Dave and I would love to see if we
And we mentioned at the top of the show, it did pretty well.
Yeah, did pretty well. This is one that, you know, is out. It's on DVD. It's available. You know, you can check it out. And I think this is the director and her. This might give you an idea of what to expect from The East. And we've both seen it. It's really good. I think it's absolutely worth a watch. But watch it before you get to the discussion,
because we're gonna spoil a
lot.
Oh
God, of
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this one, my notes are pretty in depth.
Pretty in depth. So check it out. You know, this is one that maybe a lot of people haven't necessarily heard of. Like a lot of the discussion episodes we've done, you know, like on Chronicle, or I'm trying to think of some of the other movies that maybe people would not have seen. But at least have heard of. I'm sure most people have probably seen Jurassic Park. But this is one that might be really off the radar for a lot of folks. And I would say that Dave and I both recommend it's good. It's definitely worth a watch. And check it out. And we'll talk about it. This is a movie that after you see, you're going to want to talk about with somebody. And you can kind of watch it and then listen to Dave and I talk about it and yell at us. See what you think. You can have a monologue to our dialogue.
Yeah, so that's later this week. Until then, I have another show called Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave. We're on a little mini hiatus, I guess, but there should be a new episode sometime this week. You can find that at ericanddave.com. That's Eric with a K. Other than that, you can find me at Dave Bissell on Twitter. You can find us at Movies On Up on Twitter, facebook.com/moviesonup. Hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com. Leave us an iTunes review. We're on Stitcher. You can subscribe. We have the RSS feed right at the top of the page. So plenty of ways to find us. And hopefully you do.
Tell a friend. Help somebody else find us. Help somebody else learn about the awesome work of Britt Marling. And until then,
keep it up.